Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, and we have a special treat once again. Joining me is my guest co-host, Corey Chadwick, one of my favorite people in the industry, in the world. Corey, so good to have you back on the show.
Robin, great to be here. Thanks for having me back again.
Can you tell you're one of my favorite people, Corey?
It was quite an introduction, a lot to live up to here, but you know the feeling's mutual. I'm excited to be here and just to know you. And you're a great guy. This is awesome.
Well, we had so much fun last time. We're doing it again. And speaking of introductions, today we're joined by someone Corey introduced me to, and I'm very excited about it. Mike Dazer, Senior Vice President of Human Resources at Pure Technology. Mike is a progressive people leader with over 15 years of experience building cultures where people and performance thrive. Known for his ability to design people strategies from the ground up and guide organizations through transformation, Mike has worked with some of the world's most recognized brands, including Starbucks and Target, before moving into the fast-evolving tech space. What sets Mike apart is his deep belief that great leadership starts with empathy, a value that has guided him through professional pivots, personal resilience, and his dedication to mentoring newcomers to Canada. Whether navigating the complexities of AI and innovation or supporting employees through life's challenges, Mike brings both heart and strategy to the world of HR. Mike, thanks for doing this.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here, Robin and Corey. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we had such a good conversation the first time we met. I just knew, you know, we call them chemistry calls, and we don't always let people know that. That's an internal term we have, but the chemistry was there right away. We had such a great call, and my only regret was we didn't hit record for part of that conversation. So we're recording now, so hopefully people get to hear some of what we chatted about the first time. But I wanted to dive into something that you said to me the first time we chatted, and I haven't heard someone say that yet, and I think it's worth diving into and unpacking a little bit. And you said you fell in love with people early in your career. Can you talk to us about that? Maybe take us back to that moment.
Yeah, it was very early in my career. I was working with Target, actually Target Canada, part of the team that helped bring Target to Canada, and also part of the team that helped them exit from Canada. But that's a different story for another episode, I'm sure. But for me, it was people's stories. You know, I was very fortunate to be in an HR role in a store that was in a very diverse area of Toronto in the East York area. And it was an area with a huge influx of recent immigrants, newcomers to Canada, and just the people you met, their stories, what brought them to Canada, why they were working at Target, what they did back home. Meeting people and connecting with people changed my life, absolutely changed my life. And so grateful for all the people I've met along the way.
So those stories, and you mentioned new immigrants to Canada, and I'm the result of that. I was the only one born in Canada. My parents immigrated, my brother and my sister, many, many years ago. And I love their story. I mean, like a lot of immigrant story, they arrived with nothing, right? And worked hard for a very long time to give opportunities. Mike, is there any stories that stand out for you that you've heard along the way that think, wow, that was really impactful and it's changed kind of who I am as a person?
The story that sticks out in my head was a cashier I had hired at the time to work in the store. She was originally from Afghanistan, and she had moved to Canada with her husband, her kids, and they were looking for work. And the only work she could find at the time was as a cashier at Target. What blew me away is looking at her resume and having a conversation with her. She was a medical professional back home in Afghanistan. She was a qualified doctor, yet the only work she could find was as a cashier at Target, and it blew me away. And it opened me up to the world of how we as a society in Canada, in North America, a lot of the time have this firm held belief that if you aren't Canadian educated, you aren't North American educated, you don't have Canadian experience, North American experience, whatever it may be, you are not nearly as good as someone trained, educated, working in Canada, the US, whatever it may be. And that's a belief I haven't held through my career, knowing that there is incredible talent out there from all over the world, and something I've been privileged to witness myself in my own life.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard you talk about that, Mike, and I love it how just because somebody comes from a different place in the world, like, how does that make them less than, right? And how are people who are more local more than? That math doesn't really seem to add up there. You're talking about Target here. You've actually spent time with powerhouse brands, right? Starbucks and Target, both known for their strong cultures. What lessons from those environments have stayed with you and continue to influence how you lead today?
Yeah, great question, Corey. One of my favorite lessons I ever learned from a culture perspective actually came from my time at Target, working with new managers, new leaders. It was a saying that was passed on to me, and it was called, "Don't move the mocha." You sit there and you think and you laugh. You're like, what does that mean? For me, it was very simple. It was when you are going into a situation where you're the new guy, you're the new person, whatever it may be, you don't move the mocha. And this is how I have people envision it. Envision you're in a Starbucks store and you're making drinks. You're pressing the button on the machine to get the espresso going. You're steaming the milk. And then you go to get the chocolate sauce. And all of a sudden, it's not where you left it. It's somewhere else. Someone has come in and someone has moved it on you. And for me, that's a lesson I bring to every new leader in a role, is when you come in, don't move the mocha. You build those relationships, you get to know people, you get to understand the why. Why is something done this way? Before you start to move ahead and you start to make changes, make decisions, right? So anytime I work with someone, it's always in a situation, don't move the mocha. Learn first, move second.
Learn first, move second. Yeah. So you're not saying don't ever move the mocha, right? We don't need to just accept the status quo forever. So what's important about this culture that if the mocha does need moving, and I love this example, and as you're explaining it, I'm thinking about my personal life, like at home, I put this thing here, who moved it? Why isn't it there anymore? And how frustrating that is. Why is it then, or what does it take in those cultures to get the groups or the teams to say, yeah, you know what? You're right. Let's move the mocha, but let's do this together.
It all comes back to trust. As anyone in a situation, when you're building a culture, trust is paramount. People are paramount. Title, whoever you are, your experience doesn't mean anything if the people don't trust you. Full stop.
Love that.
Can we dive a little bit into, you know, we've talked about don't move the mocha, right? At Starbucks. Can we talk a little bit about Target?
Yeah.
Because I was actually quite sad when they pulled out of Canada. And Jesus, controversial these days. But my wife and I still enjoy crossing the border and going into the Niagara outlets. And the first stop we make is Target. And it's funny, we were having dinner that night. And one of the comments my wife made was, people are so nice here. And I said, well, do you mean, you know, the States in general? She goes, no, like even in Target this morning, everyone we encountered was just so nice. And two things, I have to believe, well, they're just good people we're encountering and they're nice and they treat us well. But there's more to it than that. Like, to me, that has to come from somewhere. That's part of the culture. Is there any clues that you can share with us that came out of that Target culture that would benefit some people, you know, listening to this, Mike?
Yeah, it's another great question. For me, one of the things I remember as the people leader in a store is you had to put a lot of things aside sometimes. I remember having to support staff as we were going through shuttering the locations and dealing with the emotions that come along with that from a store perspective, but also from a personal perspective, dealing with my own loss and mourning of that experience. And for me, one of the best things I remember from that experience as well is the wisdom that comes along with life goes on. And learning through that life does go on, there's always something on the other side. And why that's important as a people leader is to pass along that wisdom to people in those situations. That's kind of the lesson learned in one moment there. But if we go back to why they have such an incredible culture, it's values driven. You're interviewing for fit. You're interviewing for someone who is going to light up a room. You're not necessarily interviewing for skill all the time. I'm a firm believer that any time you're hiring for a role, 95 to 99% of what you need to know, you can learn on the job. What you can't learn on the job is how to be part of a culture, how to be values driven, and how to work with people.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've often thought that as well. What we do at our company, I could teach people. I can't teach the right attitude, the right energy. Yeah. So we've always tried to find just good people first. And then if it comes with skill set, great. If it doesn't, we can teach that.
Yeah.
Mike, I want to take a bit of a pivot.
Love it.
And I want to get a little bit personal. And if you're not okay with this, then no one will ever hear it because we'll just edit it out. But if you were open to it, I think it'd be great to share with other people because I think it would resonate with a lot of people. Through your wife's experience, because she's an immigrant to Canada, you've seen firsthand, more so than the average person, I would say, those barriers that newcomers face, right? You know, I'm a Canadian employer. Corey's a Canadian employer. Most of the people listening here are Canadian employers.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about what can we do better to truly create that inclusive, equitable workplace beyond those surface level initiatives that we all see and post on LinkedIn and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, you know, Robin, it's a great question. I was prepared for this question based on our chemistry call because I figured it was coming and, you know, it's an absolute pleasure to share part of her experience and share what I learned from it with all the listeners today. I was doing some research actually before we jumped on this call today and just straight from the Canada website, here's some staggering statistics about immigrants and newcomers to Canada. Some of the ones that really stood out to me, 26% of the workforce in Canada now are immigrants to Canada. That's over a quarter of our workforce. And what's really, really interesting is over half of them are STEM degree holders. The latest statistics show that 35% of programmers, 43% of engineers, and 57% of chemists are those who come from outside Canada. It gets even more staggering. I'd love to share this before we dive in. In Canada, in September, the latest data showed that 16.4% of what they call core-aged workers, so that's your 16 to 55-year-olds with post-secondary education, were working in jobs unrelated to their field. That's across all of Canada. What's staggering there is that number actually jumps to 21.2% for recent immigrants. That's over 1 in 5 newcomers, immigrants to Canada, are not working in their field. And it brings me back to that original story when we were talking about the cashier I hired at Target. One last statistic I'd love to share before we touch on, you know, what we can do as employers in Canada. What is really staggering to me is a recent study showed that workers with a North American sounding name. Maybe it's Robin, maybe it's Corey, maybe it's Mike, whatever it may be, received 40% more callbacks than individuals with an atypical name or a name that is not anglicized. Those numbers are absolutely staggering. My personal story here is I was fortunate enough to meet my now wife a few years ago on her journey to Canada as a recent immigrant. I watched her go through the job struggle. I watched her interview. I watched her apply as a newcomer to Canada who was highly educated, who worked for some of the largest companies in her field, and it took her an extremely long time to find a job in her field. It was someone living those statistics. My thoughts, my advice here to employers is that some of the most talented individuals I've ever met in my life, some of the most highly educated individuals I've ever met in my life, were not born in Canada. They were not born in the US. They were born outside of Canada, whether it's Latin America, whether it's overseas in Europe, the Philippines, it doesn't matter. Those individuals bring a unique skill set that is invaluable to organizations. They bring a diversity of perspective, which you do not see anywhere else. And it's incredible to have actually been part of this journey with her, be by her side, and watch her thrive. Watch her thrive at a large organization as someone who was not born or educated in Canada.
That's amazing to hear that it has worked out, not without its struggles.
No.
And one of the things that, Mike, that I've realized is, you know, I take it for granted, even though my parents went through that many years ago, I grew up here, so I never experienced any of that in my childhood or my adult life. But I realized it recently, and I said to one of our staff, because two of our staff members are new immigrants to Canada, this is their first job in Canada, which has been really cool to see. And again, fantastic people. They're just amazing, doing well in their careers. But I said to, we were chatting and I said, oh, what are you doing over the long weekend? And she said to me, well, nothing. I'm here alone. I don't know anybody. I don't have any friends. I don't have any family. And it just hit me. Like, we take that for granted.
Yeah.
But there are people who are coming alone. And I mean, you met your wife, so she has your support, obviously. But how many people are coming alone to try to make a name for themselves? Sometimes kids are being left behind initially. Husbands are being left behind. And I think it's so important to have this conversation that we're having. Because again, I'm guilty of it. I just take it for granted.
Yep.
That we show up. And even to your point, having a name like Robin, didn't always like that growing up, by the way. You know, if you tease me about Robin Redbreast, well, we're not going to step outside. I'm joking. But that brings back childhood memories. But my point is, I've never experienced any of that, not getting a call back because my name is different. And same, Corey and Mike, you'd have that same experience. So I'm really glad that you were open to sharing this because I think it's an important conversation. And as employers, Corey and I are both employers, and certainly Mike, you're in the hiring position for people. This is something really good to realize that there's talent out there. And we were talking right before we started, like, it's about the person. We just want to find that right person. Yeah. I don't care where you come from because, again, good people come from everywhere on earth. So that's, I'm glad we're having this.
It's interesting, Robin. You actually sparked something in my mind as we were chatting. You know, it's not just finding that right person, but it's how do you then integrate them into your company? I've worked with a lot of newcomers to Canada, and the questions I get, I did not realize at first, because sometimes it's someone's first time on a Canadian benefits plan. Sometimes it's someone's first time with an RRSP program. Sometimes it's their first time booking vacation or getting paid through Canadian payroll. And I think, you know, one of the things that employers can also do is, how do you help newcomers to Canada integrate differently into the organization? Because you will get those questions. In my wife's case, she was lucky enough to have me and be able to answer those questions for her instead of her HR department. But it's something that employers can definitely forget. And I'll never forget another piece of advice I received in my first HR job. It was, if someone comes to you with a question, no matter what it is, don't discredit it, because they cared enough to come to you with the question. You should care enough to answer.
Yeah. It's an expression you hear with kids a lot. Like, you know, there are no bad questions. There are no dumb questions, just bad answers. And I'm such a believer in that. Like, ask questions, learn things.
Yeah.
We feel this pressure to feel like we have everything figured out. And I've never been in the situation, like Robin's saying, these things that we take for granted.
Yeah.
I'd imagine there's this feeling that, okay, I need to pretend I know this, 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 and this, so I feel like I belong more, or whatever that might be. And that's just ask the question.
Yeah. Like I was asked the other week, hey, I got to go to the dentist. What do I do? How do I use my benefits? Yeah. Right. And as someone myself who's, you know, born and raised in Canada, I know the routine, but this poor person didn't. Mm-hmm. And it was giving them that reassurance of how the process would go and how the dentist would file the claim for you and all these different things. It's simple things like that we take for granted when we're dealing with newcomers to Canada, for sure.
Even, yeah, all the cultural norms. You're both reminding me of this team I was working with in Elysium. This is a little while ago, and they were a completely global team. Everybody on the team was in a different country. There's like 20 people in 20 different countries, and they were all super smart, super talented leaders, high performers. The diversity of thought and experience that they brought to that group was amazing. It was such a treat of an experience. And there is this element of, we all have so much in common with each other that we don't realize until we start talking about life and work and just kind of dropping the filter a little bit. But when you combine that shared experience, that shared life experience and what you want with that diversity of thought and perspective, wow, is that something so powerful. And to your point, for more employers to embrace that, that's going to be such an advantage.
Yeah.
Love it. Mike, you've shared some like great advice, and I love hearing how your relationship with newcomers to Canada. I really appreciate what you said before about life goes on. And I'm a big believer in that. Like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Things go on. This is all kind of part of the journey and part of the process.
Yeah.
You've mentored a lot of newcomers to Canada. What's one piece of advice you find yourself giving over and over again? And also, what have you learned from mentoring?
Yeah, it's one of the favorite things I do. For me, I do a lot of interview coaching, resume review, just different things like that. And I think the fear a lot of people have when they go into interviews is they don't want to be themselves. They don't want to talk about their journey. They don't want to talk about their experience. You know, one of the favorite interview questions is, tell me a time you've had to overcome a challenging situation. And, you know, we'll be doing mock interviews, and they'll be sitting there and they'll be struggling and they'll be thinking, and you can see the wheels are spinning in their head. And I stop them and I say, why don't you tell me about your journey to Canada? Tell me about how you persevered through that, and use that as an example. And it's, for me, that's a great example of, be yourself. Mm. Talk about what you do and talk about how you did it. I'll never forget, before I get to what I've learned along this whole process, I'm talking a lot about my wife. Hopefully she doesn't mind when she listens to this, but we'll only find out when the episode gets released.
Right.
I remember when we met, she came to Canada with this giant spreadsheet of restaurants and cuisines and all the different things she wanted to try food-wise when she got to Canada. And it was a very impressive spreadsheet. You could sort it by Toronto neighborhood. You could sort it by cuisine. You could sort it by occasion, everything like that. And obviously, as you can probably allude to, she works with data. And similar to the example I just shared, she was getting asked a lot of questions about her experience and, you know, what she does outside of work and different things like that. And I looked at her one day and I said, show them your spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Show them that you are a data nerd and then it started to flip the script on the interviews, because she was no longer this person from outside Canada. She was someone who liked to eat at restaurants in Toronto. And it started to break the ice a lot more. And in both those examples, that's really sort of the best thing you can do, is you're starting to humanize yourself. And what have I learned along the way working with newcomers to Canada? Everyone has a story and everyone has a perspective. And again, Corey, it goes back to that life goes on. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that a lot in my life. And yeah, life will go on and a door may close, but another window is there waiting for you. And that's, you know, that positivity to keep. And really, that's one of the greatest gifts I've learned through a lot of what I do, is just seeing people's resilience and positivity.
Yeah. What a great lesson, or a great piece of wisdom, especially now at the time we're recording this. The job market's tough out there, right? There's a lot of disruption. There's a lot of people losing their way and trying to figure out, is my job, my career path even going to exist in the next 6 months? And
yeah,
just a ton of uncertainty and anxiety around that. And just that reminder that you might not know how it's going to work out and you might not be able to see the future, especially now, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And you're going to be okay. And just keep moving forward, believing that it is going to be okay. And there's a lot of psychology around that too, but it's such a powerful mindset to make sure that you are, regardless of the situation. And we all go through stuff in life.
Yeah.
Everybody does. It's a mentally taxing and emotionally taxing time on people right now, probably more than I can remember. 2025 is a rough road for a lot of people. So just keep looking forward. Keep your head up. Keep looking forward, right?
Yeah. That's all you can do.
Yeah. And I love that image, Mike, about, you know, the door is closing, but there's a window waiting for you. I love that. I think that's such a positive message.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about storytelling and stories throughout this episode. And I think there's a theme there for a reason. Perhaps you can talk to us about what role does story play in leading people, and how can other leaders use their voice? Because it sounds like you're doing this on a daily basis, Mike, but how can other leaders use their voice more intentionally to inspire trust and belonging in the workplace?
It's interesting. I was talking to someone about this the other day. You know, whether you're an HR leader or you're just a leader, all you need to do is humanize yourself. And that's why I love storytelling. You know, how often does an HR leader walk into a room and everyone gets their backs up? Oh my goodness, HR is here. I don't want to, oh, everyone be quiet. Oh, HR, oh, please. Oh, no, sorry. But again, that's the beauty of storytelling. Storytelling allows us to humanize ourselves. It allows us to share our stories and show that we're no different from anybody else, whether you're a CEO, a SVP of HR, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're all connected. And that's why I love storytelling. I, like everybody else, am going to be cheering the Blue Jays on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go Jays, go. But it doesn't change the fact that storytelling helps us build those connections.
And, you know, it's really the best part of relationships,
yeah.
You know, the storytelling.
Yeah.
Like Corey and I, luckily, we've become friends through meeting each other through business. And, you know, the stories I get to hear with him and the people that he knows. And I mean, it just takes a relationship to another level. Like Corey has done some recent introductions, Mike, yourself included.
Yeah.
In our first call, I felt like, wow, I know this person. I like this person. This person could be a friend of mine, which hopefully we're on the path to now. But I think you're right. I think it's got a very important role in leaders to not only tell those stories, but encourage other people to tell those stories so you can get to know the people on your team a little bit better. Well, this has been a really good conversation so far, and we don't want to stop it here. We want to keep going, but this is the portion of the exercise where we give credit to Al. Al is the one who brought this question to our podcast, but I want to give the honors to Corey. It is Al's signature question, and we generally get some good answers out of this. I feel like, Mike, you've been talking about this the whole way through, but maybe you have a different answer. I don't know. We'll throw it at you and see what happens. So, Corey, I'll let you take it away.
All right. And big thanks to Al. So there is a saying that societies grow great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. Mike, what proverbial trees are you planting? Is it in your career, your community, your family that you hope will be growing long after you're gone?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal question. And, you know, for me, there's a few trees that I've been planting and want to continue to plant. One of the big ones, as we as a society become more global, is that experience from anywhere in the world is as relevant as experience from North America, whether it's the Philippines, whether it's Brazil, it doesn't matter where it is. You know, I want to see us as a society embrace newcomers to Canada. Full stop. And I think we have a long way to go as employers, but I truly hope that this episode, the work a lot of great people in society continue to do, helps bridge that gap. And as someone with two kids, it's important that they see how great society can be when we continue to embrace multiculturalism. Because I was born in Canada, but my family at some point came to Canada too, just like everybody else who's here now.
Love it. This theme throughout this entire episode of humanity, right? Just being yourself, being more human,
yeah,
embracing people for who they are. And I love what you said about if you want to see how great society can be, let's keep looking forward towards that.
Well, I'm really hoping by the time this episode comes out, the Jays have actually won at game six, right, Mike? Because it would be so disappointing if this episode comes out and they're no longer contenders. But anyway, let's hope. Let's keep it on a positive note. Mike, I'm sure this is only the beginning of future conversations. We'll talk offline about getting together because I do want to meet you in person as well. For listeners who are interested in learning more about what you're doing, what's the best way for people to reach out?
Oh, find me on LinkedIn. It would be an absolute honor and pleasure to connect with anyone who'd love to reach out and chat.
All right, that would be great. That does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. Hope you did too. If you have any questions for Corey or myself, please feel free to join the conversation anywhere you find us. LinkedIn, phone calls, in person is the best. So hopefully we see you at some events. We saw it here today. Success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.